The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think we were going to go into a different song here, I think, but I'd actually use this as a segue to Mama Sway.
Like the calm in the eye of the storm, or the moon in the sky in the hours before morning, you dance like the light on the hardwood floor, babe. In the stillness you look right at home, hips swinging slow and lost in the moment, you move through the room like you're there all alone. And darling, it never gets old. You hold him close in your arms, you roll like an ocean, you whisper a song. It's gentle and strong, and you rock and you sweep me away. Mama, sway. It's the way that you walk through the night. It's the smile on your face when you stare in his eyes. I'm under the spell of a mother and child, and honey, it feels just right. You hold him close in your arms, whisper a song. It's gentle and strong, and you rock and you sweep me away. Mama, sway. The way that you move, you steady. Whisper a song. It's gentle and strong, and you rock and you sweep me away. Mama, sway. Mama, sway.
Just in that, the story you just told about your friend and how fatherhood changes the way the world looks at you and everything, that has sort of become, or at least in this past year when I've been writing with Brian, something that's like a common theme for us, we've referred to as like domestic dad vulnerability, and really settling into the reality of like, that's a very big part of who we are. And it's totally unavoidable.
EDV syndrome, yeah. Domestic dad vulnerability. You could write a book on that. You know, that you could take that on to Oprah.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to put too many words in Brian's mouth, so I'll pretend it's all from me. But like, we've definitely talked about like, that's something that comes up when we're looking for things to write about. One such thing was when we wrote Mama Sway, right? Like, we wrote that about a month or two after my son was born. I think Brian had just had his third or was coming very soon. It was almost impossible for us to not write about that. Before we wrote Mama Sway, we actually even said, like, we don't really want to write a junior song, as Brian refers to them. It just seems like the low-hanging fruit that seems a little too cliche.
What's a junior song?
A junior song is a song, I forget where he got the term, but it refers to a song about your newborn child.
Everybody does that. That's a cliche.
Right, right. That more or less. How do we avoid the cliche of writing a song about the kid you just had? And what's going to make yours special, right? Like, there are tons of songwriters in this world, and many of those songwriters have had children, and many of them have written songs about those children. So how do you make them meaningful to you, but also meaningful and relatable to other people? So our twist for that was to kind of turn the focus from the newborn child to the child's mother. In my case, this song came from a very specific image I had in my head of cracking the door open when she was, you know, singing him to sleep, and recording that video and keeping that in my phone, and just saying, I don't know what this is going to be a song. I don't know what it is yet. And I recorded that video and I wrote Mama Sway in my phone and I tucked it away. And when I sat down to write with Brian, that was one of the things I pulled up. And very quickly he was like, Mama Sway sounds like a song. And I was like, yeah. But again, I was like too shy to share it because I didn't want to just write another song that was just about someone's newborn child. Not that that's bad. I should rewind. Like, it's okay if you want to write a song about the child that you just had. Like, that's a very special moment and it's important to document it. So I don't want to talk against doing that. But I think when we sat down to write this one, it was more interesting to turn the focus from the child, who was like the obvious like center point, or, you know, the catalyst for the song, but turn the attention to Mama.
It's a lullaby to motherhood.
Yes, totally.
That's one of the things I love about it, because how many lullabies to motherhood are there? There's lullabies to children. And I would also say it's not just a song about mothers. It's a song about mothers and holding their babies. So there's two characters in this song, in the imagery, always. And one of the distinctive things I love about the song is it's from the second person, which you don't always here in song. So it is someone observing this thing.
Yeah, that's spot on. And I think that comes from the fact that it's a video. Like, I recorded the video on my phone, like through the crack of the door. I was like, this is something I might want to remember in 20 years, right? And so I just recorded like a 10-second clip of it. I can't really share the video with anybody because it's just a dark room, right? I had to, you know, take some liberties with the imagery there. It was a moment that I was watching. And when we were writing the song, it was very much reimagining that exact moment and trying to document it in a more romantic way.
What's the moon in the sky and the hours before morning look like?
There's two windows in my son's room. And this is one of those liberties. The moon was not shining through those windows because, of course, the shades were pulled down because you don't want that baby to wake up. The thought I had when I look at that video, which is just Lindsay swaying back and forth, holding our son Coleman, was, how do I describe this in like the most beautiful way possible? And very quickly you're like, well, it's nighttime, the moon's shining. And then you see the window and you're like, in a perfect world, the moonlight is shining through that window and, you know, sort of brushing Lindsay's shoulder and kind of catching Coleman's eyes, right? Like, so that's where you take the poetic license there and try to really create an image that is everything you want it to be, even though the version that's commemorated in your phone video forever is really just a black void.
So did this song make Lindsay cry when you played it for her?
Nope. Oh, and if it did, I never saw it or I didn't know about it. And that, I think, adds to some of the magic. I know she appreciates it. I know she, I do remember thinking, like, this will be the one. How can this not be the one? If I'm doing everything right, I'll be saying that for the next 20 years. So I'm okay with that. Lyrically, I think it's one of my favorite songs. It was just a pure exercise in trying to write the most magical, prettiest looking imagery. Like, how could I really wanted to take that video on my phone and describe it in like the most beautiful way possible. And I think we did a pretty good job of that.
So you do have very elegant and beautiful lyrics. How do you write the music to match that?
On this song in particular, because I was writing it with Brian and, you know, we were at this point, I think we had probably a quarter or half of the album written, either in songs that we had co-written together or songs that I had written. He was aware of all those other songs and he says, you don't have any songs in 6/8. And he's like, the album will benefit from, you know, a change in pace like that. And I actually think we have more than one song on the album that's written in 6/8. I'd let him do the talking on that. With that in mind, he's like, let's use this as sort of like a turning point. He started playing the riff for this. And I'd written out parts of that first verse. And he was just kind of going with the idea of it feeling like a lullaby, feeling like a bit of a downturn in the record. And yeah, and it just, I don't know, it seemed pretty organic at the time. It was obviously the imagery there was not going to go over something fast paced. So it worked. Now that I'm thinking about it, this is the song that had the most back and forth after we recorded it. There's actually an alternative version of this one that I just felt didn't totally capture what I was hoping for it to capture. I think I had super high hopes for the song because, like I was saying, I was hoping this would be the one. Other than maybe Memphis, I've never written a song more specifically for Lindsay, and I really wanted this one to like hit,
to get her to cry.
Yeah, like let's be honest, like
you got to keep writing because you didn't get her to cry. Yeah. On this one, so you got to give us more Lindsay songs,
right? And when I got the first mix back, for the first pass at this song, it didn't grab me the way that I thought it was going to. And I think part of that is in part because I had super high hopes for it. I don't think it was a problem with the instrumentation or anything. It just wasn't quite what I felt. So we actually went back and we almost reworked it entirely. We did as much as we could because I was back in Nashville at the point. So we were trying to avoid the trip back to Austin to like really start from scratch. The original version started with heavy piano, I think. And then we switched it to start with heavy, like a guitar as the lead instrument. And the first version also went a bit heavier on the electric guitars and some of the ambient electric guitar sounds that I thought were awesome. But I think it was so much different than what was imagining that even though it was wonderful, it wasn't clicking with me. So we ended up pulling that and we went heavier with the acoustic guitar and brought the piano in much later and added some mellotron to it in the bit of the instrumental around the bridge. That's what fixed it for me. And it just made it feel more, I guess, surreal, because that was the challenge for that song, was that it was a very vivid memory of mine. But the memory wasn't beautiful, right? Because it was just lights off in dark room. And I wanted to capture like what is the most beautiful version of what that image could be. The music needed to help, you know, paint that picture. And I think the piano and the mellotron is what fixed that for me.
First time I've heard someone on the show say they consciously tried to write a song in 6/8 time.
Yeah, and that's not normal practice for me. My brain doesn't think that way. That was totally at the suggestion of Brian, who has a bit more of a command musically than I do.
But you tend to think in 4/4 time, is that?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay. So what does 6/8 time mean to you? What does it connote? Where does it take you?
For me now, it takes me to this song because it's the only thing I've ever, if I'm being honest, probably the first time anyone had ever even mentioned a time signature to me when writing a song. I'm not even remotely thinking about that stuff. I'm just kind of going off of whatever I'm feeling and whatever comes off out of my hands in my mouth when I'm humming a melody. That is the advantage of working with someone who has a bit more of a command musically, is that he can say, your album will benefit from this. And I'll say, huh? And then he plays it. I'm like, oh, right. That feels like what this needs to feel like. And then we kind of jump into the saddle from there.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.